Send a movie idea.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Record on here. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I've written the intro in binary as well, so that's going to be quite annoying. No, zero, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's 010101.
Oh, I remember going to, it was a London guitar show, and the sound guy was
going, why don't you invite me?
And the sound guy between the sets was really exaggeratedly going, 1, 2, and everyone was going nuts in the crowd. And then at one point he said 3, and we all lost our minds.
That's quite good. That is quite good. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your movie ideas as we like, but only one will make it through to the pivotal final stage, where the script will be printed on large pieces of card and used to build a protective wall around the war monuments of John's hometown. I'm Joel, a man who puts the Ken into Cenotaph. And across from me is John Harris, a man who, thanks to his French upbringing, has only ever used poppies in the manufacturing of heroin. Hello, John.
Wow. Very topical for the day we're recording this, but not the day it comes
out. All right, mate. That's still pretty topical.
Yeah.
The week of is topical. Have I Got News For You records, famously records on a Tuesday or something, then goes out on a Friday. And that's a topical news show.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? We're not live. What do you want?
That's called radio.
All right. I want you now to predict something more topical than what I've just done in the intro that's going to happen between us recording on Sunday afternoon and this going out in the early hours of Wednesday morning.
Swella's gone.
Oh, I knew you. As soon as I said it, I knew you were going to say that. And now, because I'm so petty, I've got to hope that she doesn't get sacked. Oh, that's really annoying. Rishi, if you're listening.
Hold on for a few days.
Despite everything I've ever said about you publicly, could you maybe wait until Wednesday lunchtime to bin her off? Please. My reputation's riding on it. Anyway, John.
Yes.
We are here to pitch film ideas. Could you please pitch me a film idea?
On the subject of being sort of relevant to the times, this one's from Gareth. The next National Treasure film should be Nick Cage breaking into Warner Brothers to steal and share all the shelved tax write-offs.
I like it. For some reason, I thought it was going to be Nick Cage like stealing Judi Dench.
Because she is a national... That
idea.
Is a really good
because
idea.
She's a national treasure. He could like try and hoard national treasures, maybe. You know, like, I think this is a thing in films. You know, I think this is a thing that's happened in fiction. A mad villain will kidnap an entertainer to be like their private entertainer, right?
Well, hasn't sort of stuff like that sort of happened in real life with dictators and stuff becoming like best mates?
I think you're right, yeah. So, yeah, best mates, sure. But I'm sure it's happened in some films where they'll kidnap someone and get them to perform for them. Quite funny if Nick Cage decides to kidnap as many national treasures as possible and just have them put on shows for him every night.
The population is a sort of a meta film. The continually aging population after the MCU has crashed and burned, which is currently in the process of doing if you sort of look at the sort of prognosticators on the internet. After that, they realise...
The what?
Prognosticators.
Are they a new Marvel team that I've not heard of? Is their film not doing very well?
That's good. They just sort of
we've got to save the franchise.
The prognosticators are like, oh yeah, there's going to be sort of a big demonic attack in 2 days, but they don't do anything about it.
Thing is, I say I've fallen out of love with the Marvel franchise. If their blockbuster film summer 2024 was the prognosticators, I'm there day one. I'm there for the midnight release.
So The prognosticators are not involved in this film. So Nick Cage knows the only money is in the Grey Pound. We've talked about the Grey Pound before. Those sort of films are filled with your national treasures. So he...
Yeah.
It's a big action film a la Nick Cage, like sort of style, but it's about getting together the ultimate cast for this Grey Pound. So you've got sort of... It's hitting four quadrants here. The kids want to see it because Nick Cage is blowing stuff up. The grandparents want to see it because...
Oh, because the kids love Nick Cage.
Okay, fine. It's a
don't
two.
Know. You've got two kids, and all they talk, like, you know, whenever I've been over to yours, all they talk about is Nick Cage, isn't it?
Yeah, it was my 3 week old's first words were Nick Cage.
Were Con Air. Yeah. The kids love Nick Cage is probably an opinion that like only people over the age of maybe 85 have.
Yeah,
you know, people that are so far removed from popular culture. I'm a big fan of his work, but I sadly am not young. No, I think that's a good idea. I think you're hitting all four quadrants. I think you're right. On the subject of the original pitch as it was, it is fascinating to me.
Oh, it's nuts.
That Warner Brothers are just writing off these movies.
So Batgirl, they sort of said, oh, it was terrible. Which has sort of been like between the lines. They haven't said that outright, but they've sort of gone, it's a terrible movie. But then loads of people respond by saying, yeah, a lot of the time before reshoots, big blockbusters are terrible movies, and then you reshoot to sort of tidy stuff up.
But you kind of forgive it, maybe they've already thrown loads of money at it, maybe they've seen, and also that was DC was in a really odd transitional period at that point anyway, right? So maybe I don't think that it should have been shelved. I think it's sad that it was, but you can maybe see the business case. We're going to scrap it, we're going to relaunch DC with the latest one. Is it Roadrunner, the Roadrunner film, Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah,
like seems to have been relatively low budget. From what I've seen, it tested with audiences really well. And then some of the crew put out shots from behind the scenes where it was all like physical props, and it all looked it's all really practical effects. It looks amazing. And I hadn't really heard much about the production of the film at all, to be honest, and was suddenly like furious that it was being denied from the world. I don't understand. And the claim seems to be that it's for tax purposes, or
apparently it's a $30 million tax write-off. Also, on top of that, so the crew...
But would they not stand to make more than that by releasing it?
You'd think.
That's what I don't understand.
And also on top of that, the crew, those videos that the crew put out have been taken down due to copyright strikes from Warner Brothers to add insult to injury. So you can't see those videos anymore.
Wow.
It is, it's really... Even if they're like not films that I would want to see or were bad, I do think it's weird and sad that this is what Warner Brothers is doing, just sort of letting films get finished and then just shelving them forever. It's sort of, and it was written by
really
James Gunn.
People work really, really hard. Yeah, people work really hard on these things. Films are really difficult to get made, and they take years and years to make. And this would have been years of people's lives, and it's really sad that they don't ever see an end result. Like I've worked on several things that have been like pilots of things, or have never really gone anywhere, and it is frustrating when it doesn't happen. But I've never worked on something of that scale. I can't imagine how devastated you would be if you had worked on this film and you were really proud of it, and then it never saw the light of day for seemingly like no good reason, you know, not because the product you've made is bad. It just, it seems like such a shame. And also, you're like denying the world a piece of art that people have poured loads into. It just feels really arbitrary and really unfair. So I would be very in favour of Nick Cage busting it all out.
Also,
like, surely it will leak. Surely someone will leak it.
It is like forbidden fruit as well. There's an element of it. Like, it's like when they banned The Exorcist and everyone was like, I need to see this film. There's something, I'm more interested in seeing both those movies because of the fact I was told I can't see those films.
100%. Like the number ones, you know, whenever Radio 1 back in the day would ban a song, it would be number one that week. Happened with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Anyway, here's one from Nathan. Interview Without a Vampire.
Right.
Thoughts?
Nathan's also given us some facts for a nickname. We're still doing nicknames.
He has? Yeah, we are still doing nicknames. Okay, here we go. Facts from Nathan. I don't drink milk. I teach math.
Okay.
Is it maths? I don't want to correct this guy. Is he American? He certainly...
Well, he says something in a second about his height that gives you a clue.
I'm 6'3", in brackets, 190 centimetres to my friends across the pond. I don't know which friends you're referring to, because we very much deal in feet and inches.
Yeah.
Maybe you. I mean, you're French. Maybe you. Their French are way more metric. And I've recently started taking ballroom dancing lessons.
I love it. This
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It feels like we're now veering into the world of like Dream Factory singles, you know, and we're going to start like, we're sort of becoming a... The newest dating
app on
the
market. I love this insight. I love that we got a drummer in the midst. We've got a dancer in the midst. Hey, we've got a show. We can put on a show.
We can put a little tap show. So he's a math teaching, milk avoiding, ballroom dancer.
What's the cool implement you use in maths? Protractor? Compass? Can we call
it
compass?
I think that's the coolest. Compass is good. I can't remember anything that's in your little geometry set, can you?
Well, like I said, protractor and a compass. Not compass, that's not right, is it? Compass.
What's the triangle?
Oh no, yeah, compass is a right. circus thing. What's the triangle?
What's the triangle called?
Not sure.
Oh, it's called triangle.
Ah, oh, let's call him triangle.
Okay, no, let's call him protract-cha-cha-cha. Protract-cha-cha-cha. Ignoring the fact he doesn't drink milk, Nathan would love to know, what's your favourite milk alternative? Anyway, his suggestion is Interview Without a Vampire. Is it, does the interview's been set up and the vampire doesn't turn up? Or yeah. is it just a film about interviewing someone who isn't a vampire?
I think it's the former, because otherwise that is just an interview.
The film is Interview.
Yeah.
It's the film The Interview with James Franco and Seth Rogen.
He sets up an interview with a vampire. The vampire doesn't show up, but he's made such a big noise about the fact that he's got this incredible interview lined up that he lies and he makes up this whole story and it becomes this big best-selling book about an interview with a vampire. And then the vampire has to go out and announce himself purely to sort of say none of these allegations are true.
Breaking my silence, YouTube vlog style.
Yeah.
Breaking my silence. My story. That's really good. So a guy claims to have an in with a vampire and he releases like a series of podcasts that are all supposed interviews with this vampire confessing to his hundreds and hundreds of years of vampire crimes.
Yes.
And it's all fake.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good. I actually recently read a book that's a very similar premise.
Yeah, and so the podcast becomes a big hit, right? It's a massive hit. But mm-hmm. then, like, internet sleuths start sort of seeing discrepancies in the stories, things that just don't add up. And so some sort of at-home detectives put the pieces together and realise it isn't true. And they get in touch with the vampire. And that's the final episode of that second podcast, is the actual interview with the vampire.
Yes.
This is
that's
good.
That's really good. That's a really good idea. Well done, Nathan.
Protract-cha-cha-cha.
It's good stuff. How about this one from Andy? Night of the Living Fred. Fred Flintstone, along with Wilmer, Barney and Co. I mean, Co's doing quite a lot of heavy lifting there, isn't it?
Do you know anyone
Who else?
Who
else is there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hang on. There's another... Not Betty?
Barney has...
Is reanimated and terrorizes modern-day America. He's been dead many millions of years, so he's pretty gross. Also, there's zombie dinosaurs.
A zombie saying yabba dabba doo is fun. Despite how... Yeah. Deceased he is, that's still fun.
And it would be good if, I don't know if American theme parks, so here in the UK, for our listeners across the pond, our premier theme park arguably is Thorpe Park in the south of England. And there's a massive deal. They do like at Halloween, they go all in on the fright nights at Thorpe Park. And I've never been to one, far too frightening for me. There's lots of people in costume and they chase you around the park and there's like special mazes and stuff. And it would be good if an American theme park, it was fright night. And so they thought that the Flintstones reanimated characters were just part of the show, part of the fun.
Yeah, well, they definitely do. Universal Studios do it. And I'd imagine...
Okay. Look, John, maybe you're more across the Halloween schedule of the American theme parks than I am. Shoot me.
I can't believe you don't keep up to it like I do. You've not got the alerts. Yeah.
You're always texting me where the Hanna-Barbera properties can be found these days and in what context. This drives me mad. So they're assumed to be part of the show and then they start eating people alive and terrorizing them and turning them into zombies. But because they're biting like other people in costume, they're also turning them into zombies. So it becomes this whole self-fulfilling prophecy. You don't know who's a character, who's been turned into a zombie. You don't know if you can approach that Goofy for help or if that Goofy's going to try and bite you with his massive two front teeth. And it just becomes total carnage in the theme park.
Yeah. And there's like in a sort of 80s horror movie at the beginning, the Fred Flintstone one is sort of stumbling towards these like teens who are like being sort of cocky and arrogant. And they think, oh, these are just actors. They can't actually come that close to us. And they're sort of flicking stones at them and stuff, you know, terrorizing the actors generally. And then this one comes and sort
flick stones,
of,
yeah.
Very good. And this one comes and eats them.
And that's, sort of legitimately good ideas this week.
Yeah, an entire studio's character roster as zombies is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Very good. Right, would you like another one from me?
Yes.
What about this one from Joe? Also, Joe, just for the record, Joe agrees with you and she enjoyed The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes!
There are dozens of
these. It's happening! The movement starts now. We are Legion. We are everywhere. Is that what Anonymous say?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's happening. John, no, don't move on from that. Because since... I put out the call last week. I got so excited. Things have just started falling off my desk. Since I put the call out last week that The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is an overlooked masterpiece, 100% of the feedback that we've had has agreed with me. There is not a soul. That's a landslide, John. There's not a soul out there that is saying that it's a bad film. Apart from you, I think you said it.
Well, no, I just said it's notorious.
I think it's happening. Would you come, people, to a live screening of A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen hosted by John and Joel? That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Absolutely.
I'll dress up as Captain Nemo. John will dress up as the Invisible Man.
And not show up, yeah.
Not sure, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll do it like Prince Charles style. So we'll have to come up with some bits in the film where we like all throw things at the screen or do you know,
yes.
say lines along with them.
Oh, go on. That would be good. And we'll do a seance and get in touch with Sean Connery or something. sounds good.
Is Sean there? Y E S H.
That's good stuff, man.
Thank you.
That's really good.
Right. This one's from.
Come on there. Watch Joe's film idea.
An Invisible Man Helsing.
Right. Okay. So I guess Van Helsing is the ultimate vampire slayer.
Can't see
if you're discounting Buffy. If he's invisible, an absolute nightmare for vampires. They don't know where to chomp, do they?
Right, 100%. So this film, this Van Helsing is having the time of his
Can
life.
Can I also say The Invisible Van would be a very funny film.
Like, is it like Wonder Woman's Invisible Plane? Do you see people sitting and driving it?
You see, or is it maybe, just, yeah, I think you do.
Or is it people just walking into an invisible van, being like, "What? There's nothing here."
There was a good, wasn't there? Quite a good Invisible Man film. I think I went to see it at the cinema.
Yeah,
with Elizabeth Moss.
It's brilliant. Yeah, agreed. Brilliant.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. One of the few horrors
there's
I have
scene,
seen.
There's a scene, isn't there, John? Is it? Are we spoiling it?
Oh, the dinner scene.
Okay. Spoilers ahead for 2020's underappreciated Invisible Man. There's a bit where, so is it her like abusive partner is also like a scientist who's developed the power to become invisible?
Yes.
Right, I think. And she's trying to escape him. And there's a scene where she's having dinner with her sister and they're chatting away and then her sister's throat just gets slit because the invisible man's there doing it. It's fucking
It's nuts.
Harrowing.
Yeah.
It's really scary. So yeah, there's a recommendation. Well, I've just ruined the best bit in that film, but I would go and watch it. It's good.
In terms of, so Invisible Man Helsing, what I think we need is it the ultimate sort of opponent is like, so it has to be like a sort of fictional monster creature, but the thing that's coming to mind is the Predator, because I believe the Predator can see heat, right? So it tracks based on heat and movement, not based on whether you're visible to the naked eye. So if that's the final creature he has to hunt is the Predator, right?
Perfect.
Now, that's actually a challenge for him. Another good film,
yeah.
Tick.
Another good film. This is ridiculous.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, how about this one from Beck? Last night in Ho Ho Ho. It might be a little bit early for a Christmas suggestion.
Never too early. Bring them on.
Never too early. When do you start getting Christmassy? Have you watched the adverts? Have you cried at the adverts? Or have you been in the replies to M&S saying, "This is a fucking disgrace"? I can't tell who annoys me more in the replies to Christmas adverts. There's two trends that I've noticed, John. There's people saying, this is a disgrace, Christmas has been ruined. Almost more annoyingly than that, there are hundreds of people replying to these adverts saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. If you go to the original M&S advert, the first like 100 replies are people saying, I don't get it. Don't get it. And I just think, A, it literally isn't anything to get. It's right there on the tin. It's right there on the fancy M&S biscuit tin. But also, don't admit that on the internet. You mad? There's no way. Google it. Google. People. I think people have forgotten. People have, I think, become more open to being appearing thick. And people don't Google anything anymore. Have you noticed if you're on like TikTok or something and there's a video that's like an explainer or it's a gag or loads of the comments are like, what does this mean? What is this?
Agreed.
I don't get this. I think, why don't you go and look? Instead of telling the internet, I'm thick. Why don't you just comment on everything, I'm thick? Under the M&S advert, why don't you just comment, I'm thick? Good. That's good, isn't it?
I loved it.
You should.
All right. Under the next, I haven't done a TikTok video for a little while. I will try and do one this week. Under it, if you're a listener, just comment, I'm thick.
Please. Yeah, we're on TikTok. You can find us by searching Dream Factory on TikTok. If you could all go there, whether it's Instagram or TikTok, please just comment, I'm thick underneath it. Because when strangers stumble across that video, they'll have no idea what's going on. If you could go back and as many videos as you can be asked to comment on, just start writing, I'm thick, wherever you see Dream Factory, anywhere on the internet. We'll be selling merch at the screening of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That is a t-shirt that makes no reference to Dream Factory other than it being in the colour scheme. And in just big white writing, it says, I'm thick.
Excellent.
It's good merch.
To go back to your question, Christmas has come early in my house because I have a toddler son who's very excited by the prospect and wants to watch The Grinch every single day.
Every day?
Yeah, look, wait.
Which Grinch? Jim Carrey's Grinch?
No.
John has revealed a big Grinch t-shirt. Wow.
There you go. You weren't expecting that, were you?
I wasn't expecting that. You're fully Grinched ready to go. Yeah. When you say he wants to watch The Grinch all day, does he just want to stare at your torso? Wow.
No, he watches the...
Is the Grinch not scary?
No, he watches the animated Benedict Cumberbatch that came out a couple of years ago that's more like Illumination.
With the good soundtrack.
Kid-friendly. Yeah. It's got a Tyler the Creator song at the beginning.
It has, yeah. Yeah.
Nuts. Anyway.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Last night in Ho Ho Ho,
yes.
Santa, modern day Santa is in Soho and he's sickened to find that people don't celebrate Christmas in the way that they used to. And he pines for a more innocent era and travels back to 1960s Soho Christmas, only for it to be far more debauched than we could ever have imagined.
Love it. I'm happy with
that. Is that the premise of the film?
Sort of. I think that's enough for the premise of the film that we're not sort of going into spoiler territory. Alternatively, if we sort of circumvent the Edgar Wright movie altogether in coming up with the plot, could it be like the Santa Claus, but instead of Tim Allen killing Santa and having to become the Santa, it's a drag queen?
Nice. That's very good.
Again, would watch.
Stunning. I think we probably need to move on to our own ideas so that we can
spoil it.
Break this streak of really good film. Here's one from me. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Bark. Indiana Jones is a barkeologist who uncovers the barks of extinct dogs sounded like.
It could have gone either way. I thought I was waiting till the end to be like, is it dogs or is it trees?
Is it dogs or trees? That's the thing. You don't know until you get into the film. All you know is he's a barkologist. John, the end of the film, they've been searching for this extinct dog that no one ever heard the bark of, and they believe it's been trapped. The sound of the bark has been trapped in the bark of the Covenant. And at the very end of the film, they're stood there as, for some reason, the Nazis crack it open and they crack it. You know, in that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, they take the lid off and it just goes, woof. That's the end of the film. Just sounds like all the other dogs.
Interestingly, in my head, I know exactly what Nazi dogs look like. What does that say about me? Am I throwing stereotypes
out? No, I know exactly what you mean. I think you are, but that's okay. I think they were pretty specific on their choice of dogs.
A side note, if you are a tree surgeon, from now on, please refer to your job as being a barkeologist.
You're a barkeologist, yeah. You have my permission to... Or a vet.
Yeah.
I should have called it Indiana Bones. Anyway, what's your idea?
This one is a brand new hit on Netflix. It's David Fincher's The Killers. Murders keep taking place in cities where the band The Killers are performing that evening. Is it a fan? Is it Brandon Flowers? Well, somebody told me. ..
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
That's very good. I've not watched. Have you watched it yet, the new Fincher?
No, I really wanted
people
to.
People are into it, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to watching it. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think they take it off Netflix after 2 days, don't they? It's like a rental.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
you
like
have to rush to watch it. Well, I'm really excited to see it. I don't really know that much about it, actually. No, other than it is
Fassbender,
new Fincher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, keen for that. Very keen the idea that the killers are on some sort of killing spree. And do the band have to investigate who it is? Or are they getting hounded? Like, at what point would they notice the pattern?
Oh, I do like the idea that, yes, so the band are the sort of lead suspects, and the only way that they can clear their name is to become detectives themselves and clear their
name.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good. There's a bit where the detective on the case has them backstage and he says, the killers are in the room. It's like it's a good gag.
I thought you were going to say, when there's nowhere left to run.
Nice. Very good. Very good.
Anyway, let's pick
hey,
a winner.
I think this has been a Hall of Fame episode of Dream Factory for good ideas.
Yeah, not funny.
I'm amazed.
No one's had a good time.
No.
But the film's been
no
good.
No one's enjoyed it. But people have sat there listening to this podcast and they're nodding. And that's what I want. Right. What's the best one, John? Which one did you enjoy the most? It's a tough field. It's a tricky field to pick from.
It's Night of the Living Fred or Interview Without a Vampire. They're both really solid ideas.
They really are. Okay, we're going to give it to Pratchett-cha-cha-cha himself, Nathan. Over in America, well done, congratulations. And we have to leave now because a zombie Fred Flintstone has walked into the room and he wants to suck my blood. No, eat my brains. What do they do? Well done, John.
Well done, right. Joe.
Well done, John. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting this to be an absolute car crash because I've had no sleep, Joel, because I was in Children's A&E last night.
Oh, man. It's scary. There's a real difference I've noticed between parents and non-parents, and it is that parents very rightly, very cautiously take their kids to A&E a lot quicker than you would an adult,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, adult A&E is so bleak.
If you go to A&E as an adult, it's, I don't know, it feels like that's like a once every few years serious situation. Oh, yeah. With kids, obviously, you're very cautious and it's much harder for a child to communicate what they're feeling, et cetera, et cetera. So you do go to A&E a lot. But if you're a non-parent, when you hear, I'm in A&E with my child, you think, fuck!
Yeah, his legs come off, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's actually like a lot more regular for parents than I think you would imagine before being a parent.
Yeah,
would I be right in saying that?
I think so. My son has a thing. It's a pretty common thing. It's called croup, which I think sounds like...
When you work in a casino, isn't it?
I think it sounds like the most French illness a child can get.
Yeah, well, I'm saying nothing. How did he get that?
Interesting. If someone said, like, you know, you went to a posh restaurant and they were like, you know, this dish has got a side of croup, you'd be like, delicious.
Yeah, you had the salmon on croup. Exactly. But how is he doing?
He's
is he
fine.
Okay?
He's good. That's another thing about having a... Oh, God. Look, we're not going to turn into parenting hell. But another thing about having a kid is as soon as the drama of the going to the A&E is done, you just have like a very unruly child who you can't take to nursery.
Of course.
And just is running around causing a ruckus. So yeah, it's quite tiring. But that's life. That's what I believe we signed up for when we had a kid. I'm going to cut straight to the chase, Joel. I've got nothing. I've got no cultural highlights from the last 7 days. I've got nothing to tell you. Do you have anything from
good,
your
good.
End?
Good. Have I got anything? No, not really, because I am the other podcast that I produce. They're 50-50 in terms of importance in my life with Dream Factory. The Guardian's Football Weekly is on tour. When you're listening to this, I'd have done a live show in London and in Bristol, and I will be doing one in Manchester on Wednesday evening. So we're going on tour. It's all I thought about. It's all consuming. And I'm fine. I'm not nervous or worried about it. I'm excited, if anything.
My dream would be for
the
audience. I don't think there's any crossover between these audiences at all. But if there was any crossover, for someone to go to one of those live shows and come up to you at the end in front of Max and Barry, the hosts, and be like, oh my God, it's Joel from the Dream Factory. That's my dream.
That would be pretty good. So if you can do that, that would be amazing. If you can wear your I'm Thick merch to the live show as well, just so I can spot you in the crowd, that would be fantastic.
Between bouts of doing Dream Factory, when we had a brief hiatus, I went to a comedy show, and one of the comedians who is a listener to the show and we are very grateful for in front of a bunch of other comedians said, "When are you going to start the podcast again?" And that really made me feel good. It really made me feel important.
Yes! We're the best. And on that note, we'll be back to being the best this time next week. Bye!
Bye!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.